We are continuing our study in the book of Proverbs. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses of this chapter. And we will read it together beginning at, beginning at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And we'll stop right there. This passage, these first 10 verses in chapter 3 are interesting in that there's a pattern that we recognize in this chapter. It's one that I saw as soon as I read it. I noticed it. This chapter, or the first 10 verses, can be divided up into two verses apiece. And we see, first of all, in the first verse, that there is an exhortation or a command to obey. The second verse is the results. If we obey that command or exhortation, here's what's going to happen. That's in verse 2. So what we have is we have something that we understand in the first verse. The second verse gives us what will happen and the results if we obey that exhortation or command. For instance, if you notice verse 5, for instance, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the command or the exhortation. Verse 6 says, as a result of that, he shall direct thy path. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's the truth or the exhortation expressed in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. As a result of that, in verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. So you see there's a pattern in these verses, and I guess there were five spiritual truths expressed in these 10 verses. Five divided into 10 is two. I think. Or that's the way it is when I learned it in the third grade. But this is the pattern that's in these first 10 verses. In verse 1, the writer, Solomon, says, he's exhorting his son, he says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, don't forget my teaching to you concerning God's wisdom. And that's what we've been talking about. Last week we talked about in chapter 1, God's wisdom that we want to have. We want to have God's wisdom. And the father, Solomon, here is exhorting his son not to forget his teaching, his law. And he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The heart there mentioned is our will, our intellect, our emotions, how we think, our motivations. That involves the heart. And Solomon is saying, let your heart not forget my teachings. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, it says, God is speaking to the children of Israel. He says in Deuteronomy 8, 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. You hear the commands of God, you hear his teachings, hear his instructions, and then you do them. And that's what the writer to Proverbs is saying in verse 1. Now, if we don't forget God's law, if we treasure these things in our hearts and keep his commandments, what will the result be? Well, verse 2 will tell us. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. There are three things mentioned in verse 2 that will happen to us as we, if we keep God's commandments, if we follow His wisdom. The first of those things in verse 2 is length of days. Now, we're not talking here about having a long lifespan. Some Christians live long lives, many years. Some don't. But the principle here is that unrighteous living can shorten your life. That's a general spiritual principle. And living by godly precepts can prolong your life. Now, that's not true in every single case, but it is a general principle here. Length of days. And it also says if we keep God's commandments, if we pursue His wisdom, in verse 2, we will have long life. That phrase, long life, conveys the idea of prosperity. Now, this does not mean that God, if we obey God, that He's going to make millionaires out of all of us. We're going to be rich or wealthy and all that. That's not what we're talking about here. Long life has a connotation in general of having a life of prosperity. That is, we're in fellowship with God, we're in fellowship with His people, and God blesses us in our lives. He gives us good things in our lives, very small, simple things sometimes, and sometimes large things that He will bless us with. But we also see the third thing that we will have in verse 2 is peace. Peace. This conveys the idea of wholeness or well-being, or all those things that make life worthwhile. That type of peace. You know, the people in the world, they try to have peace, don't they? They try to conjure up man-made methods in order to bring peace to their hearts. They want to have wealth or power or pleasure or prestige. They think, well, you know, if I just had those things, if I had wealth, if I had power, and I had prestige, this will give me the peace in my heart that I need. Of course, we understand that that's not true. That we're chasing wind if we think that's going to bring peace to our hearts. But only God can grant true, long-lasting peace. And you and I have peace if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have peace in our hearts and peace with God. So we see the first two verses that there's a spiritual truth expressed in verse 1, and if we keep that truth, there's the results of that in verse 2. Verse 3 says, as the exhortation or principle in verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy, the word for mercy here is better translated kindness. In other words, we shut out all the hatred and all the selfishness in our lives. We're kind to people. The word for truth here means shutting out all hypocrisy and falsehood. We let those two things, kindness and truth, be a vital part of our lives. And this is the exhortation. This is what the writer Solomon is advising us or exhorting us to do. He says in verse 3 to bind them around our neck. Bind mercy, bind kindness and truth around your neck. Wear them like a necklace. Make kindness and truth a major thing in your life that you constantly think about, that's constantly on your mind, that you're going to be kind and truthful. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8 says, and this is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel, if they keep His word, He's talking about His commandments, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. In other words, make God's commandments, make God's word a vital and integral part of your thinking, your mind, your life. So we as believers are to make kindness and truth a vital, integral part of our lives, our thinking, our minds. And furthermore, in verse 3, he says, write them upon the table of thine heart. Table or tablet of thine heart is another word. You know, when we want to remember something, we want to remember something, we don't want to forget it. What do? Well, we write it down. You know, I write things down all the time to remember. Problem is, when I write it down, I still forget them. You know, that is a problem. However, most of the time, when I write something down, I'm going to remember it. And if we write kindness and truth down upon our hearts, if we make them kindness and truth such a part of our lives that we will never forget them, they will be like a necklace around our neck, written on the tablet of our heart. And as a result of that, you know, as a result of making kindness, mercy and truth, kindness and truth, a vital part of our lives, what will happen? What will the result of that be? Well, verse 4 tells us. Verse 4 says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Favor means high esteem. High esteem. Good understanding means people will respect you. Let me ask you a question. Who would you respect more? Who would you want to be around more? Would you like to be around a person who's rude and selfish and self-centered towards you all the time? I wouldn't. You know, I don't want to be around people like that. But so suppose a person is kind to you and truthful to you. Would you rather be around that person? Of course. See, those are two attributes that you and I as believers should incorporate into our lives, kindness and truth. It's difficult on many occasions to be kind to people, especially when they are unkind to us. Yet, nevertheless, we make kindness and truth a part of our lives. And that's what the Lord wants. If we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and we go back to the gospel accounts, we can see how kind the Lord was. That was a major part of His thinking. It was a major part of His character, was kindness and truth. He always told the truth, but He was always kind to other people. And the Lord Jesus wants us to incorporate those things into our lives as believers. We will have favor and good understanding from people. You recall that verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, when it was referring to the Lord Jesus when He was a young boy. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You know, that should be our goal. That should be our goal as believers. We can increase in stature. We don't have to point a finger at ourselves. We don't have to break out a neon sign that says, "Hey, I'm a great person." We don't have to do that. All we have to do is be kind and truthful to people. If we do that, we'll find favor in the sight of God and man. Well, the next group of next two verses, verses 5 and 6, are familiar to us, to most of us. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Trusting in the Lord, in other words, have total and unequivocal confidence in God. And we believe, if we have confidence in God, we believe that He will guide us, direct us, enlighten us as we go along the pathway of life. In the decisions we make in life. And we trust that God knows how things ought to go, and we're willing to stake our lives on it. When you trust in the Lord, you have total and complete confidence in God. In other words, you're in a situation, and sometimes God will do this. He will put us into situations where we have no other option. We have no other choice, but we must trust Him. He has cut all the avenues off of our usual way of doing things. He has said, "Earl, here you are. You're in this situation. Nobody can help you. Your family can't help you. Your friends at Northgate, your brothers and sisters in Christ at Northgate Chapel, they can't help you. Your neighbors can't help you, but I can. I can." When we're in a situation like that, we can have total trust and confidence in the Lord. trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your will, all your emotions, all your intellect. That's what we're talking about here. And he also says in verse 5, lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. When we're leaning into our own understanding, what we're doing is we're going to determine what's right and what's wrong in a given situation, and we don't seek guidance from God. We push him off to the side, leave the Lord out of the picture, and we try to understand or make decisions on our own without God's help, without his word, without his guidance. In other words, we think we know best, and we're going to make our decisions our own way. We understand the situation. We don't think we need God in this particular situation. I've been there, folks. I've made decisions that I didn't go to the Lord in prayer. I left him out of the picture. I made the decision, and it turned out to be the wrong decision. And it was a mess. And I had to go back, Lord, you know, I sure have messed up this time. You have to go back to the Lord and lay that thing before him, confess the sin that you've done, and accept his forgiveness, and go on. But in this particular case, in verse 5, Solomon is saying, lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, what we do is we make God the very center of our decision-making and understanding. Whatever situation we have to deal with, and some of the situations, you know, we have to deal with in our lives, they're pretty tough, aren't they? They're hard to deal with. They're burdensome. They're tiresome. They're wearisome. But even in those situations, God tells us, don't trust yourself. Trust me. Don't have confidence in yourself. Have confidence in me. You know, that's what the Lord would tell us tonight. Okay, in verse 5, if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, we don't lean on our own understanding, what's going to happen? Well, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, in verse 6, we're talking about acknowledging God means that we follow where he leads. We don't try to manipulate things, or we don't try to manipulate people or manipulate events. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't control events. We just can't do that. That's impossible for us to do. We let God, in his divine sovereignty and divine providence, let him control the events in our lives. We submit to his leading and his control. And sometimes, that's difficult to do. But again, God will put us into situations where we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to submit to him and to his control. Recognize his wisdom. And to do it. If we do all those things, if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, we lean not into thine own understanding, we in all our ways we acknowledge him, what's he going to do? He shall direct thy path. In other words, he will clear and level the road. That's what direct our path is talking about here. If we allow God to have his way in our lives, he will guide us. He will direct us. He will clear the path of obstacles. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians verse, chapter 5, verse 7, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, for us to put our hands put ourselves into the hands of God, to trust him unequivocally without batting an eye, with having total and complete confidence in the Lord, that takes faith. It takes faith. We will have to exercise faith because we walk by faith, not by sight. So we see the principles here in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, we have the exhortation, the command to trust in the Lord. Verse 6 says, as a result of all these things, he shall direct thy path. The next two verses, verses 7 and 8, verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, in verse 7, there's three things that we're exhorted to do. Verse 7. First of all, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think you know it all. Because I got news for you, folks. You don't. And I don't. You've met people who think they know it all. I mean, they're always right. Whatever they say comes out of their mouth. Yeah, that's it, you know. And unfortunately, the Lord will put them in a situation where they won't be right. You know, he would want to teach them a lesson. But don't think you know it all. Listen and learn from others. Listen and learn from others. That's a simple concept, isn't it? But it's very difficult. You know, I was thinking about this verse, and I was thinking, you know, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are talkers, and there are listeners. I've been a lot of talkers in my life. They talk. They say a lot of things. But sometimes what they say doesn't amount to a whole lot. There are listeners in the world, and when you listen to people, you start to learn about them. You start to understand them. You can start to relate to them. You can't do that when you're talking, but when you're listening, you can learn a lot about other people. You can learn a lot about life. That's why it's important for young believers, I mean, believers who are young in the faith, not necessarily young in age, to listen to more mature Christians, to understand what they're saying. And, you know, if they do that, they're going to gain some knowledge that they can put forth in their lives. I remember when I was first saved and I would talk to Christians, I would listen to everything they said. And I remember, you know, my brother Gibby, he took it upon himself to teach me these things, to disciple me when I was a young Christian. And, you know, I listened to him. Sometimes I didn't agree with him. But I did listen to him. Gibby's going to have something to say about that after the meeting, probably. But, you know, the exhortation here is in verse 7, is be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And we talked about that last week, about fearing the Lord. That doesn't mean to be afraid, to be frightened of God. It means to give the Lord reverential submission. When we fear the Lord, we are giving reverential submission to Him. We submit and yield and surrender ourselves to God. That's in the context of this verse. That's what fear the Lord means. But we're also supposed to do something else in verse 7. That's to depart from evil. You know, Job was a man who eschewed evil. That is, he turned away from evil. And, you know, if we're fearing the Lord, we'll be departing from evil, won't we? If we're obeying God, if we're making the Lord a vital part of our lives and doing what He wants us to do, we won't be doing evil. You know, you can't do both things at the same time. You cannot obey God and do evil at the same time. That's impossible. So we have here in verse 7 three exhortations. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If we do those three things, what's going to happen? Verse 8 will tell us. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Obedience to God's wisdom has a direct bearing on our physical health. Now, what I'm not saying here is, if we obey God, that we're not going to have any sicknesses or any diseases or any injuries or any physical problem. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what this verse is saying either. What it is saying is health to our navel means the physical properties of our bodies. You know, if we are not wise in our own eyes, if we do have reverential submission to God, fear the Lord, if we depart from evil, these things will play a part in our physical well-being and health. And you know, I've noticed Christians over the years who are disobedient to the Lord in their lives, and sometimes their health breaks down. I don't know if you've noticed that before, but it's true. Not in every single case. But I've noticed that disobedient Christians sometimes have a little bit more health problems than the rest of us. And we could see that possibly the hand of God is working in their lives. But I think it could be a direct result of this of verses 7 and 8. So we see that obedience to God, to obedience to His wisdom, has a direct bearing on our physical health. Verse 9, the last two verses, verse 9. Our time is running out, but we'll do these verses. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, honor the Lord with thy substance. The Israelites were instructed in the law, in the Old Testament law, to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. And much of what was given were crops, various crops, grains, livestock, and that type of thing, because Israel was an agrarian society, agricultural-based society. And these offerings were used to support the Levites and the priests in the temple, and to also help sustain the poor among the children of Israel. And I think the modern day application to this, you know, we don't have sheep grazing in our yards to give to the Lord. We're not going to go out there and give Him a bushel of corn. Well, we could, but most of us don't have that, you know, luxury of doing that. But what we do have, in our culture, in our society, we have money. And God has given us all these things, these physical blessings, this material blessings. He expects us to give part of that back to Him. You know, that's the principle expressed here in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. And that's the principle is that we give back to the Lord part of what He has given us. And we also, in verse 9, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, some Bible commentators render that part of this verse as saying, well, you know, you've got your expenses, you got to pay them, you got to pay the make the car payment, you got to buy the groceries, you got to put gas in your gas tank, you got to pay the mortgage, you got to pay the rent, you got to do all that stuff. Then after that, you use what's left over, and that's for the Lord. I don't agree with that interpretation. You may agree with it, that's fine, but I don't agree with that. We give to the Lord from the first fruits of our increase. In other words, what we give to the Lord comes off the top. Brother, sister in Christ, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord does not want our leftovers. He wants the first fruits of our increase. And I remember about 8 years ago, I was laid off from my job. And, you know, I gave, I was used to giving something every Sunday at the Lord's Day. At the Lord's Supper. And I got my severance pay, and that ran out. I got my unemployment pay, and that ran out. I didn't have much left after that, but I was determined to give something to the Lord. And I was determined to make that the number one priority before I paid my bills. And I believe that the Lord honored that because He has provided for me wonderfully over these past 8 years. He really has, materially. The Lord will provide. You know, He will provide for our material, financial needs. He will do that. But first of all, what we've got to do as believers, we've got to give to the Lord the first fruits, make it our top priority, put it at the top of our list, make our offerings to Him first, you see. And He will provide, brother, sister, Christ, He will provide. God will provide for your material needs. That's His promise. He has done it for me, and I know He's done it for you in your life. Okay, as a result of that, as a result of honoring the Lord with our substance, as a result of giving Him the first fruits of our increase, what's going to happen? Well, verse 10 will tell us. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If we give from our material substance to the Lord, He will bless us and He will provide for us. That's exactly what He will do. And that is a New Testament truth expressed in the New Testament. If you are concerned about that and read there some gospel, I can't remember the book or the verse, the chapter and the verse, but there is in the gospels a spiritual principle about giving. The Apostle Paul goes over that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 about giving to the Lord. But if we give to the Lord, He will take care of us. He will provide for us. I remember years ago, I was coming out of the meeting on Sunday morning, and I got in a conversation with Junior Johnson back then. And it was at the time that all these things about these TV preachers were going on, about all that money they were raking in and all that kind of stuff. And we got to talk about giving, and Junior said something to me, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, it seems like to me, the more I give to God, the more I get. And I thought, that's interesting. Now, Junior was quick to point out to me, that's not the reason he gave. He gave to the Lord to honor Him and because he loved Him. But I thought to myself, you know, that's interesting that I think Junior stumbled across that. Well, he didn't stumble, but he was expressing a spiritual principle there. That if we give from our substance to God, He will bless us. He will provide for us. But, you know, we've got to make that a top priority in our lives. We just can't give the Lord the leftovers, brother, sister in Christ. He wants the first fruits of all our increase. Well, our time is up, and those are the first first 10 verses of chapter 3, and next time we'll continue on in the book of Proverbs. And I believe Brother Bob has the prayer request.